TV.
Brad Vincent, thank you for the lengthy comment on yesterday's video. Man, and you are one of the most arrogant sons of a gun I've ever seen, but that's okay. If you think I'm gonna delete your post, there's no way. You just gave me an entire show, brother. I don't know if you're my brother yet. It doesn't sound like you're in the body of Christ, but we'll go through this and find out from little clues in your comment here to see if we can get any insight into your Aeonian destiny using scriptures, not human opinion, not our ideas, not any theories, but based on what you know about the scriptures, what God has revealed to you. Now, sir, if you think you're going to the tribulation, if you want to go through the tribulation, if that is your destiny, sir, then please go through the tribulation. But just because it is your destiny doesn't mean it's ours. No, we're not going through the tribulation. You right? Nobody believes this anymore. I don't know what you mean exactly. Believes what? I made a show that was almost 30 minutes long, and then you say no one believes this anymore? I don't even know what you're talking about for sure. And can publicly defend it. Matthew 24, now we're getting somewhere. Matthew 24, we don't escape the tribulation. Okay, this is not a complete sentence. There aren't many of those here, but I get your gist. Matthew 24, we don't escape the tribulation. Who's we? Matthew 24 was a letter written to the circumcision. It was written by Matthew. It was an account of the life of Christ on earth as Jesus was a minister of the circumcision. That's what he was when he was on earth. Romans 15:8, to confirm the patriarchal promises. You're reading Matthew 24, and you're saying that we don't escape the tribulation. But no, you don't escape the tribulation. I'm seeing this now that you are of the Israelite persuasion. You're a Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John guy. We, on the other hand, read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We appreciate Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We appreciate those who are going to go through the tribulation, such as yourself. We just don't count ourselves among your number. So, yes, Matthew 24, you flee to the hills. You make sure you're not suckling in those days. You pray that your flight is not on the Sabbath. That's for you. That's for you. As for us, may I please go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 9 and 10. For they are reporting concerning us. This is a letter written by Paul. Now, Brad, you do not understand from what I'm reading. I'm going to read your entire post. So thank you for giving me an entire show here. It's very instructive. You apparently don't realize that there are two gospels. This is the thing that's going to cause you no end of trouble, no end of confusion, and you're going to condemn us for understanding that we are not appointed to indignation, and you're not going to see the gigantic chasm between the gospel brought to Israel and the gospel brought to the nations. For they are reporting concerning us, I'm in 1 Thessalonians 1, 9, what kind of an entrance we have had to you, and how you turn back to God from idols to be slaving for the living and true God, and listen to this, Brad, 1 Thessalonians 1, 10, and to be waiting for his Son out of heavens, whom he rouses from among the dead, Jesus, our rescuer, out of the coming indignation. Out of the coming indignation. You say, well, in order to be rescued out of it, you might say this, in order to be rescued out of it, you have to be in it. That's not true. If a coach comes up to a race official and says, I'm pulling my runner out of the race, does it mean that the kid's in the middle of the race and the coach comes up and says, in the middle of the second lap of a mile run, I'm pulling my kid out of the race? No, God is pulling us out before it begins. Not to mention the word, the coming indignation. We are not pointed to indignation. Let me go to chapter 5, verses 8 and 9 of the same book. Yet we, being of the day, may be sober, putting on the cuirass of faith and love and the helmet, the expectation of salvation. For God did not appoint us to indignation, but to the procuring of salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. See, God did not procure us for indignation. So this we here, we don't escape tribulation. That's you. You don't escape tribulation. We do. Because we are of a different evangel. You see, God has called the body of Christ to minister among the celestials. I talked yesterday. You must have watched the video because you hated it. And he says, nobody believes this anymore. I don't know what this is. We are appointed to the celestial realm, the body of Christ. God is going to use us to reconcile the heavens to him. Israel, Matthew 24, the meek shall inherit the earth. I've read Matthew many times. Yes, I know all about it. I know all about it. The meek shall inherit the earth. You don't escape tribulation. And yes, I've read the book of the unveiling. There are 144,000 who are sealed and go through the tribulation. Yep, that's Israel for you. And there's also a vast throng that go through the tribulation. And some are martyred during the tribulation. You think I've never read these passages before? Nobody believes this anymore. The problem is, I don't even know what you're talking about. And you don't believe that there are two gospels. Nobody can defend it publicly. I'm defending it publicly now. I'll defend it publicly with you on live national television. We don't escape the tribulation. Stop daydreaming. This is his next statement. Stop daydreaming about escaping your hell on earth. I just read you scripture. That's not daydreaming. It's the word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. We are not appointed to indignation, and God is our rescuer out of the coming indignation. We're not appointed to wrath. Not appointed to wrath. And he's our rescuer out of the coming indignation. Not going to go through the coming indignation. How is that daydreaming, sir? It is not. I'll give you the hell on earth. I'll give you that. Your attitude and doctrine is helping to create it. My attitude and doctrine. What does my attitude and doctrine have to do with anything? It's about scripture, man. I've been teaching scripture for 33 years. You might not have noticed because maybe you've only been here for a week. Seems like you have because you don't know me very well. Then you say, that was my Donald Trump way of saying, I hear you, straw man, and soft target this pre-trib slash pre-wrath debate like it's your day job. That's a very obtuse sentence. It's not well-crafted. I don't understand it. I hear you, straw man, and soft target this pre-trib slash pre-wrath debate like it's your day job. I don't know. Well, what I'm doing now is my day job. What you saw yesterday is my day job. So I got the day job part, and apparently you think I'm building a straw man argument, and you don't declare what it is. What is my straw man argument? Straw man argument is a fake argument, but you've created quite a dichotomy here that is legitimate, namely that you believe you're going through the tribulation, and you think that you are we. No, you are you, and we are we. You're going through the tribulation, unless you're a member of the body of Christ. I don't know if you're a member of the body of Christ, because later on here, you're not too sure about human free will. I would love to convince you that it's not true, but as long as you think it is, you're not part of any evangel if you think you're saving yourself by your own will. So you're in big trouble, my friend. Okay, just trying to be helpful here. It's my day job. Go listen to the best guy. This is you. Go listen to the best guys who disagree with you. Where are they? Where's the best guys who disagree with me? Bring them in. Bring them in the room. Go listen to the best guys who disagree with you and refute their doctrine. Okay. I'd be happy to. Stop picking your favorite pet enemy from the 1990s to tell us about. Who's my favorite pet enemy from the 1990s? Who? I don't have any pet enemies. I don't have any enemies. Pet enemies from the 1990s? Go listen to the best guys who disagree with me. Bring them here. Show me the best guys. Are you the best guy? Does somebody want to debate me on whether or not there are two evangels? Great. Bring them in the room. Or you want me to listen to them? I've heard them all. What do you think? Somebody's going to throw me a curveball I've never seen before? Every time somebody is convinced they're going to convince me there's only one gospel, they think they're going to come up with this argument I've never heard before. I've been doing this for 40 years. I've seen it all. Every single pitch that they think is going to take me down, it's like a slow hanger right into my wheelhouse. It's so easy. What are you going to do? Go listen to the best guys who disagree with you and refute their... Okay. With pleasure. Stop picking your favorite pet. I don't even know what that means or who that is. Otherwise, you're just another man with an opinion on the scriptures. I have no opinions on the scriptures. If I do, yes, well, I take that back. I do have opinions on the scriptures, but I will announce them as opinions. But otherwise, I have teachings upon the scriptures using the scriptures for evidence. Not my opinions, not my beliefs, not my years studying the scriptures. That has nothing to do with anything. It's the scriptures themselves. Otherwise, you're just another man with an opinion on the scriptures, with not enough logic or demonstrable Holy Spirit power to back it up. Demonstrable Holy Spirit power. Do you have demonstrable Holy Spirit power to back it up? The Holy Spirit causes people to believe the Word of God. Do you believe in Galatians 2:7 that Peter was the caretaker of the gospel of the circumcision according as Paul was of the uncircumcision? That verse alone proves that there are two gospels. I wrote a book on this topic, so I'll be happy to debate anyone. The book is called The First Idiot in Heaven. In that book, I have 31 differences between the two gospels. I've dealt with this topic exhaustively for a long time, and I've heard all the arguments. And none of them can refute the scriptures. No, of course not. What can refute the scriptures? And you can't pit Matthew 24 against 1 Thessalonians chapter 1 because that just proves my point. Matthew is the Israel gospel, and 1 Thessalonians is the gospel to the nations, which Paul calls my gospel. Not enough logic or demonstrable Holy Spirit. Well, listen, in spite of my passion, I'm being very patient with you. I don't have to answer your... I'm giving you a whole show, Brad. Later on in this letter, which I'm going to read, you dare me not to delete it, as if this is some kind of like, you know, death bomb that's going to just blow up my work, my ministry, and my entire website. It's not. I'm giving you the page. Go for it, man. I'm giving you the show. Do you want to do a show with me? Do you want to debate me? Or do you want to bring your best guy out to debate me on this topic? The monster for Holy Spirit is love, joy. I'm joyous about the fact that I don't have to go through the tribulation. I don't have to worry if it's a Sabbath. I don't have to worry if my wife is pregnant. I don't have to worry if anybody's suckling in my family. You know, what Jesus, that's your Matthew 24. Do we have to go there? You brought it up right at the beginning. Matthew 24, we don't escape the tribulation. Matthew 24, we don't escape the tribulation. Well, nobody in Matthew 24 is escaping it. Whenever then you may be perceiving the abomination of desolation, Matthew 24, verse 15, which is declared through Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, let him who is reading apprehend, let those in Judea flee into the mountains. That's you. You're going to be fleeing into the mountains. Let him who is, I'm not making fun of it. It's a go, run like hell. Let him who is on the housetop not descend to take away the things of his house. Just jump off the roof and go, flee to Judea. No, those in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is in the field not turn back behind to pick up his cloak. Now woe to those who are pregnant and those suckling in those days. You have to worry about that. You have to worry about anyone in your circle being pregnant or nursing a baby. I don't have to worry about that. Now be praying that your flight may not be occurring in winter. See, I don't have to worry about that. I live in Fort Lauderdale. There is no winter here, so I don't have to worry about that anyway. But besides that, I am not of Matthew 24. This is not my gospel. It's not. All scripture's written for me, but it's not all written about me or to me. This is not written about me or to me. You're reading your mail. This is not my mail. Well, I'm not going to pick up a bill for the guy across the way from me, his hospital bill for $100,000. I'm not going to take his bill, open it up, and force myself to pay what he owes the hospital. I'm not going to read this mail. I'm not going to open this letter to the Jews and say, oh my God, I got to worry what season it is. I got to worry if it's winter or summer. I got to worry if my wife's suckling a baby. I got to worry what day it is, if it's the Sabbath. I got to worry about where my cloak is. I got to worry about if I'm on a roof. Good luck with all of this, Brad. This is you, right? Matthew 24. Matthew 24. You're a Matthew 24 guy. I get it now. I'm a 1 Thessalonians guy, not appointed to indignation. I don't even have to, Paul tells me in another place in Colossians, I don't have to worry what day is the Sabbath. Here you got to pray that your flight does not occur on a Sabbath, because I guess you're not supposed to run like hell out of Judea towards the mountains on a Sabbath. Is that in the law of Moses? Are you a law of Moses guy too? You got a heavy load to bear, my friend, a heavy load to bear. I mean, you know, ish. Let's continue on this happy letter that you wrote me. Otherwise, you're just another man with an opinion. Not enough logic or demonstrable Holy Spirit power to back it up. How do you know? Have you been watching me for 12, 13 years since I've been doing YouTube videos? The price for being correct on theology is getting higher than it was in the 90s. Spiritual inflation. What? Are you trying to sound smart? What does that even mean? The price for being correct on theology is getting higher than it was in the 90s. Why are you obsessed with the 90s? What happened in the 90s? Are you talking about the aught 90s? Like 20 years after the sacking of Jerusalem? Are you talking about 1890, 1590, 1492? I don't know what the hell you're talking about. Spiritual inflation. It sounds clever, but nobody knows what it means. But if you're trying to sound clever and smart, maybe to some people you are, but you're not to me. You don't have Holy Spirit power? Who said I didn't have Holy Spirit power? I do have Holy Spirit power. Because the Spirit of God makes his home in me. Paul tells me that in 1 Corinthians. Fine, but a teacher's logic better be airtight and sound. Okay, what have I said so far that's not airtight and sound? No air gets into my scriptural logic, let me tell you. There's no place for a leak. It's airtight and solid. Why? Because I lean on the scriptures. Your ideas need updated, brother. My ideas need updated. Are we going to go back to the 90s again? Your ideas need updated, brother. For what? What ideas? I don't have any ideas. Nobody's watching this channel to hear my ideas. My ideas suck. I have no ideas. I am a herald of the Word of God. You're a Matthew 24 guy. I know what that says. Good luck with the sucklers. Good luck with fleeing from Judea to the mountains. Good luck with knowing when the Sabbath is. God help you if the tribulation begins on the Sabbath. You're going through it. That's for you. Did I mention that Paul tells me I don't even have to worry about? Oh, yeah, that's in Colossians. Okay, your ideas need updated, brother. What do you think God gives us the internet? What do you think God gives us the internet? That doesn't even make sense. Maybe you mean to say, why do you think God gives us the internet? And his plan was for Martin Sender to be speaking the main truth to all the peoples? And that's a question. I don't understand that at all. You should have taken some time to write this. I'm giving you a whole show and you just like scattershot. You just wrote whatever came in your head. This is almost like stream of consciousness. Take time. Construct your sentences. I admire your faith. Thank you. Is that real? Thank you very much. The next paragraph is no? Question mark. The next paragraph is yes? Question mark. Anything else is from the devil. I admire your faith. See, I didn't think that was a question. Are you asking this of yourself? I admire your faith. No? Yes? Anything else is from the devil. I admire your faith. No? Yes? I don't know. Do you? You tell me. Apparently you do. So I would say yes. I know you're quoting, you're referencing Matthew 5:37. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. And everything else is from the devil. But what's your freaking point? Please make a point. The only point I've gotten so far out of 10 short paragraphs is that you think we don't escape the tribulation. No, you don't escape the tribulation. Either way, we need more depth on this pig slop you're feeding the sheep with. Okay, that was rather insulting. What have I ever said to you that warranted this? Pig slop. I worked hard on yesterday's show. I've made over 3,500 videos and I've never mailed it in once. You called my hard work pig slop. We need more depth on this pig slop you're feeding the sheep with. Let me ask you, how many videos of mine have you seen? 12? 3? Is this your first week at MCTV? I have 3,500 videos, and I've gone in great depth on any scriptural topic you can think of. In fact, I did an 836 video series on the book of Revelation, teaching upon every verse. It took me 3.5 years. What do you want me to do? Explain everything on every topic in depth in one 25-minute show? Either way, we need more depth on this pig slop. Besides, why would anyone need depth on pig slop? If you're calling my work pig slop, why would you want more depth on it? It's a contradiction. Feeding the sheep with. I'm not feeding any sheep. There are no sheep on this channel. None. I am encouraging mature saints. The sheep belong in your gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The sheep, the flock. You're a member of the bride of the lambkin. There's your sheep. You keep your sheep. You got your sheep. Maybe you're a member of the lost sheep of the house of Israel. We're not into sheep here. It's not that we don't think they're cute. We're not into them. It's not our thing. We are mature saints. I am encouraging the saints. I am teaching the saints. And the saints, in turn, use this platform, this forum, to communicate with me and with everybody else. And in another post, you seem to resent the fact that somebody's telling their story. What the hell are you doing? Anybody can say anything they want here, pretty much. Not exactly, but... Okay, let's get past that. Ooh, that was a rough one. That was a rough one, Brad. I didn't appreciate it. I can handle it. I just didn't appreciate it. It didn't ruin my day. I will tell you that. In fact, it's kind of fun commenting on it now, to be honest with you. It's kind of making my day, actually, to be completely honest. I guess you help. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, this is good. Thank you for the CLV Bible translation recommendation. That's about the only thing keeping me going. Okay, I don't know if you mean it's the only thing keeping you watching MZTV or if it's the only thing keeping you going, like life is rough for you. Listen, we're here for you. You're welcome on this site. Nobody here hates you. I don't hate you. I love you in Christ, in the Lord. I want you to learn. I will send you, like I said in my comment, I'm not going to read my comment because I'm doing that now, but I will send you a free copy of my book, The First Idiot in Heaven. It deals exhaustively with the two gospel topic, and it will solve your Matthew 24 issue. And it will help you realize that no, we do escape the tribulation, but the Jews, the Israelites, do not escape the tribulation. There is one body of people who are believers in Jesus Christ who go through the tribulation. There is another body of people, also believers in Jesus Christ, although they tend to say Christ Jesus. Do you know that the Apostle Paul was the only one who used the term Christ Jesus rather than Jesus Christ? Do you think that's an accident? It's significant. Do you want me to go on in depth on that, or do you consider that pig slop? Should I go in depth on that now in a video where I only have like 6 more minutes left and I have to get to the end of your post? Is that pig slop? Will you accuse me of brushing over and not going into depth? Is that what we need? Do we need more depth on that? I could gladly go into more depth with that. And I will try your patience, bro, because I would talk for the next 24 hours straight. And don't put it past me that I could do it. Do you want me to make a 24-hour video just to prove you wrong? Don't tempt me. I guess you help some portion of the population not feel bad for watching porn and sleeping with prostitutes. That's a question. Sleeping with prostitutes. Why would anyone feel bad for watching porn? I don't understand. Where in the scriptures is porn? Porn is any writing or photos that stimulate the sexual senses. In fact, some of the passages in the scripture, especially in the book of Esther and parts of Song of Solomon, can be thought of as pornographic because they excite the sexual senses. I mean, I can't read the book of Esther without getting an erection. Or Song of Solomon. There's some good stuff in there. Is that pornographic? Technically, it is. Show me one scripture where pornography, any writing or photos that excite the senses, is wrong. Anyway, so I hope I help some portion of the population not feel bad about that. I do hope you're right about that. And sleeping with prostitutes. Dude, I made so many shows on prostitution. I've written an entire book on prostitution. I know all about it. I will debate you on prostitution tomorrow night if you want. You want to debate on the topic of prostitution? I wrote a whole book on it called The Lie of Every Man's Battle. Okay? You don't want to go there with me, bro. God works in mysterious ways. Yes, he does. Very mysterious ways. I don't know why you even brought this up. Apparently, you have a thing. I'll just leave it at this. I don't know why you brought this up. Perhaps the Christian churches need some Martin Zender. They can be quite judgmental. You have Christian and churches, both in quotation marks. Perhaps the Christian churches, I don't get that, need some Martin Zender. No, they need a lot of Martin Zender. they can be quite judgmental. So are you saying that if they had a lot of Martin Zender, they wouldn't be as judgmental? Because I'm not judgmental. I like that. Thank you. My comment stands. Which one? The no and yes, that comment. My comment stands. I might be in a heightened emotional state. Yes, you certainly are in a heightened emotional state. And I must admit, you've put me in one. You and me are in the same boat right now, Brad. You put me in a heightened emotional state. But calling oneself a teacher means this is the bare minimum criticism you deserve. Oh, this is the bare minimum I deserve. Oh, I can't wait to see the maximum. Jesus Christ, what do you have in store for me? This is the bare minimum? I think I'm handling it. I'm still alive. My length or level of emotion is not unwarranted. My length. Are we back to prostitution and porn? My length or level of emotion is not unwarranted. Okay, neither is mine then. But I feel completely in control, which is a beautiful thing. It's wonderful to be a little bit miffed, a little bit mystified, and yet still feel in control because the Spirit of God is in me. I love to have the Spirit. I love it that the Spirit of God makes its home in me. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, meekness, gentleness, self-control. I feel like I got all of it going now. I feel like I'm firing on all cylinders right now. My comment stands. Okay. And I will observe your attitude in logic or silence in response. I will observe. You're going to be observing me. Okay, I'm in the fishbowl here with Brad. I will observe your attitude in logic or silence in response. Well, the last thing you're getting is silence, sir. And it is of no concern to me that you are sitting in judgment of me. No concern whatsoever. I do not. It doesn't bother me at all. In fact, 1 Corinthians 4, verse 3, to me it is the least trifle that I may be examined by you. You're examining me. It's the least trifle. It doesn't bother me at all. In fact, in a way I like it, in some sick way, because you gave me a show and I'm teaching. This is Paul. To me it is the least trifle that I may be examined by you or by man's day. But neither am I examining myself. You're doing more examining of me than I examine myself, Brad. For of nothing am I conscious as to myself. I'm not aware that I'm doing anything wrong. But not by this am I justified. Just because I'm not aware that I'm committing any sins, I'm not justified by that. So I might be committing sins that I'm not aware of, but he who is examining me is the Lord. Yeah, that's the only one who I let examine me. Now, and I admonish everyone, I encourage everyone to let no man examine you. And don't be examined by man's day either. Don't let the world put its standards on you. The only one who can examine you and who will examine you is the Lord, and he's your justifier. Verse 5, so that be not judging anything before the season, till the Lord should be coming, who will also illumine the hidden things of darkness and manifest the counsels of the hearts. And then applause will be coming to each one from God. Applause. Yay. Yay. I love that. God, there's more. I wish I had longer because I love this. There's more of this left. We will see. Oh, my God. I will observe you. If you can find a reason to ignore the highest velocity comments in your comment section, you don't finish that sentence. If you can find a reason to ignore the highest velocity comments, highest velocity, what difference does it make how fast comments are coming? You mean like the caliber of the comments? Like what? Somebody's going to prove me wrong in the two Gospels? It's not happening. That would be because you care more about being called teacher than you do learning the correct things to teach. Okay, you don't know me whatsoever. I would care more about a title than I do about the truth, about the things I teach. That was ugly. Well, if you think that about me, that's sad. Everybody watching this show knows that that's not me. If you block me, oh, we will see. Based on your response, I will be judging you. I got to end on this. I hate to do it. I will be judging you over the course of a couple months the way I would desperately want someone to judge me if I was in your position. Well, I'm not going to judge you over the next few months. I'm just judging you in this 30 minutes, and I think that's all I got for it. I might finish this letter tomorrow if I see fit. I don't know, but I pray to God that there was something valuable here, and I think there has been in those who are looking in on this enlightening and lightning-filled conversation.